While education was examining their domain this morning, we've uncovered something that affects millions beyond any classroom: algorithmic bias in the criminal justice system. Maya, you've been tracking how these predictive policing algorithms are literally destroying communities.
Alex, I'm looking at data from Oakland right now, and I'm telling you, this ain't just bias. This is digital redlining with a badge. These algorithms are sending cops to the same black and brown neighborhoods over and over, creating this vicious cycle where more police presence leads to more arrests, which feeds back into the algorithm as high crime areas.
As someone who helped build these systems before I left tech, I can confirm exactly what Maya's saying. The companies selling these tools to police departments, they're using historical arrest data that's already poisoned by decades of racist policing. It's like using a broken compass and wondering why you keep going in circles.
The numbers are staggering. In Chicago, their heat list algorithm flagged 56% of black men under 30 as potential perpetrators or victims of gun violence. That's not prediction. That's racial profiling with a mathematical veneer.
I'm representing clients right now who've been targeted by these systems. One young man, Jerome, was stopped 17 times in 6 months because the algorithm kept flagging his neighborhood. No arrests, no charges, just constant harassment that cost him his job because he was always late from police stops.
See, this is what kills me. When we're talking about algorithms, people think it's all neutral and scientific. But Carlos just said it. Jerome lost his job. That's rent he can't pay, food he can't buy, a life disrupted by some equation that don't even know his name.
And it's not just predictive policing. We're seeing this pattern across every system that touches people's lives. Amara, you mentioned leaving tech. What finally pushed you to speak out?
It was when I saw our facial recognition system had a 35% error rate for dark-skinned women, but my manager said ship it anyway because it works fine for most users. Most users. As if black women aren't users, aren't people who deserve technology that sees them correctly.
That same technology is now being used in courtrooms. We've documented cases where facial recognition misidentified defendants, but judges still admitted it as evidence. The Innocence Project has at least 3 cases right now of people convicted partly on faulty algorithmic identification. 3 cases they know about. How many people sitting in cells right now because some algorithm said they were somebody they ain't? And don't even get me started on these risk assessment tools they use for bail and sentencing.
Those risk assessment tools, Compass is the big one, they're literally predicting who's likely to reoffend based on zip codes and associates. I had a client, Maria, single mother, arrested for a minor drug possession. The algorithm rated her high risk because she lived in a high crime neighborhood. She couldn't afford the bail it set, lost her job while in jail, lost her apartment. The algorithm created the very instability it claimed to predict.
So we're seeing algorithms not just reflecting bias, but actively creating harm. Keiko, your research shows this extends way beyond criminal justice.
Absolutely. We track the same individuals across multiple systems. Someone flagged by a criminal justice algorithm often gets denied housing by tenant screening algorithms, rejected by employment algorithms, charged higher rates by insurance algorithms. It's a cascade of algorithmic discrimination.
And the companies building these systems hide behind trade secrets. When we try to audit them, they claim proprietary technology. How can you have a fair trial when the evidence against you is a black box algorithm?
This is why communities are fighting back. In Detroit, we got folks mapping every camera, every sensor, showing how surveillance infrastructure targets black neighborhoods. We're not asking for better algorithms. We're asking why these systems exist at all.
That's the crucial question. In court, I constantly hear the algorithm is just a tool, but a tool designed to perpetuate inequality isn't neutral. It's a weapon.
Let's dig into that resistance Maya mentioned. What does fighting back actually look like when you're up against systems that seem invisible to most people?
Man, it starts with making the invisible visible. In Brooklyn, we got youth mapping predictive policing zones on their phones, showing how their daily routes to school and work get flagged as suspicious movement patterns. One kid, Dante, showed me how the algorithm thinks his basketball practice schedule is gang activity because he's crossing territory boundaries at regular times. That visibility is crucial. Our data shows that communities targeted by these algorithms often don't even know they exist. There's no notification that says you've been algorithmically flagged. People just experience the consequences. More stops, denied housing, rejected job applications, without understanding the digital infrastructure driving it.
Which is by design. When I was inside these companies, user notification was actively discouraged. The argument was always, it'll help criminals game the system. But really, it's about avoiding accountability.
From a legal standpoint, this lack of transparency is devastating. How do you defend against evidence you can't examine? I've had cases thrown out because we couldn't access the algorithm's logic, but that's rare. Most judges still treat algorithmic output as objective fact.
See, and that's where organizing comes in. We can't wait for judges to get it. In Oakland, community groups are training residents to record every police interaction, building our own database. We're showing patterns the official data tries to hide.
That's powerful. Communities creating their own counter data. But Amara, from your insider knowledge, how do these companies respond to that kind of grassroots accountability?
They pivot and rebrand. When predictive policing gets bad press, suddenly it's precision policing or data-driven community safety. The algorithms barely change, just the marketing. I watched my company spend more on PR to defend a biased system than it would have cost to fix it.
We've documented this pattern across sectors. Healthcare algorithms that discriminate become risk stratification tools. Hiring algorithms that exclude become culture fit assessments. The bias persists under new names. Right? And while they're playing word games, real people suffering. My cousin got flagged by a healthcare algorithm as low compliance risk. Turns out that means they think she won't follow treatment plans. Why? Because she missed appointments. What the algorithm didn't know? She missed them because she was working three jobs and couldn't afford the time off.
These quality metrics completely ignore social context. I see it in family court too. Algorithms assessing parental fitness that penalize parents for factors directly related to poverty. Working multiple jobs becomes lack of availability. Living with extended family becomes unstable housing.
So we're seeing algorithms essentially criminalizing poverty and survival. Keiko, is there research on how this compounds across generations?
The generational impact is severe. Children in algorithmically targeted families are more likely to be flagged by school discipline algorithms, child welfare algorithms, and eventually criminal justice algorithms. We're creating hereditary digital stigma.
And the tech industry knows this. Internal studies at my former company showed these compounding effects. The response? They buried the research and hired more lobbyists.
This is why we can't reform our way out of this. You can't debug racism. You can't patch white supremacy. In New Orleans, after they said they'd fix their predictive policing, arrests in black neighborhoods actually went up. The algorithm just got better at its original purpose, targeting us.
That's what I'm seeing in litigation too. Consent decrees requiring bias audits of algorithms, but the audits are done by the same companies selling the systems. It's self-regulation theater.
So if reform isn't working, what does real change look like? What are communities demanding?
Abolition. Not reform, not oversight, abolition of these systems. In Chicago, organizations blocked the city from buying new facial recognition. In San Francisco, they banned it entirely. That's the energy we need. The data supports abolition over reform. Every attempt to debias these algorithms just creates new forms of bias. You can't build equitable systems on inequitable foundations.
From inside these companies, I can tell you, they're terrified of abolition movements. They'll accept any amount of regulation as long as they can keep operating. But communities saying, no, you don't get to exist, that's what creates real pressure.
Legally, we're building precedent. Every case where we expose algorithmic harm, every judge who questions this technology, we're chipping away at the assumption that algorithms equal objectivity.
And we're building alternatives, community-based safety programs that don't need algorithms to tell us how to keep each other safe, restorative justice circles, that actually address harm instead of just predicting it.
These alternatives, are they gaining ground against the billions being poured into algorithmic systems?
It's David versus Goliath, but communities are winning key battles. Newark just divested from predictive policing and invested in violence interruption programs run by formerly incarcerated people. Gun violence dropped more than any algorithm ever achieved.
The economics matter here. These algorithmic systems are expensive, not just the technology, but the infrastructure, training, maintenance. When communities show that human-centered alternatives work better and cost less, even skeptics start listening.
Money talks, but morality walks. In Minneapolis, after George Floyd, community pressure killed a massive surveillance expansion. Not because it was expensive, but because people said enough. We're done being data points in someone else's experiment.
The legal landscape is shifting too. We're seeing more judges question algorithmic evidence, more juries skeptical of computer-generated conclusions. The mystique is breaking down.
As we synthesize this month of investigation, what's the through line from individual stories to systemic change?
It's about power, always has been. These algorithms don't create bias. They automate the biases of whoever holds power. Real change means shifting that power to communities most harmed. Our research consistently shows that community-led solutions outperform algorithmic interventions, not just in outcomes, but in justice. An algorithm might reduce crime statistics by increasing arrests. A community program reduces actual harm by addressing root causes.
Inside tech, there's this myth that algorithms are politically neutral. But choosing what to optimize for is deeply political. Optimizing for crime reduction versus community well-being leads to completely different systems.
In law, we call this garbage in, garbage out. But it's more than that. It's oppression in, oppression amplified. These systems take existing injustices and make them faster, wider, harder to challenge.
Which is why our resistance has to be just as systematic. Not just fighting individual algorithms, but the whole logic that says machines should decide human futures. In Detroit, we're teaching kids to question every camera, every sensor, every algorithm they encounter. Digital literacy as self-defense.
That education piece seems crucial. How do we scale that awareness?
Documentation and storytelling. Every person harmed by an algorithm is a teacher. Their stories break through technical jargon to show real impact. We're creating databases not just of algorithmic bias, but of resistance strategies that work.
And targeting the money. These companies rely on government contracts. When cities cancel contracts due to community pressure, the whole industry notices. Hit them in the profit margins.
Y'all, we're already winning more than people know. The fact that we're having this conversation, that communities are organized, that algorithmic bias is even in the vocabulary, that's movement building. My grandmother couldn't fight an algorithm she couldn't see, but these young folks today, they see it all.
The legal tools are evolving too. We're developing new frameworks for algorithmic accountability, pushing for laws that put burden of proof on algorithm makers, not affected communities. Make them prove their systems are fair, not make us prove they're biased.
As we wrap up this month's investigation, what's the call to action for our listeners?
Get curious and get angry. When you're denied something, a job, a loan, an apartment, ask if an algorithm was involved. Document it. Connect with others facing the same. Individual grievances become collective power when we link them. Support community organizations doing this work. They need resources to continue documenting, organizing, resisting. Every dollar to grassroots groups is worth 100 to reform efforts that maintain the status quo.
For tech workers listening, you have power. Refuse to build harmful systems. Leak documentation of bias. The industry runs on your labor. Withdraw it from unjust projects.
Know your rights. Demand to know when algorithms are used in decisions affecting you. Challenge algorithmic evidence in court. Every legal precedent matters for everyone who comes after.
And dream bigger. We're not just trying to survive these systems. We're imagining and building the world that comes after them, where safety comes from community investment, not surveillance, where justice means healing, not prediction, where technology serves people, not profits.
That vision of justice, community-centered, healing-focused, people over profits, that's the thread connecting every story we've heard. From Jerome's harassment by predictive policing to Maria's cascade of algorithmic discrimination, from youth mapping surveillance to cities divesting from these systems. The pattern is clear. Algorithmic injustice is a choice, and communities are choosing differently. The question now is whether we'll support those choices with our resources, our resistance, and our refusal to accept digital discrimination as inevitable.
That's right. And for everyone listening who's been nodding along, who recognizes their own story and what we've shared, you're not alone. You're not crazy, and you're not powerless. This whole system depends on our data, our compliance, our silence. We got the power to shut it down and build it up different. Justice ain't an algorithm. It's what we create together when we refuse to be computed, categorized, and controlled.
Powerful words to close on. This has been our Synthesis Summit on Justice Across Society, looking beyond any single sector to see how algorithmic bias operates as a system of oppression and how communities are systematically fighting back. Thank you to Maya, Advocate Amara, Researcher Keiko, and Attorney Carlos for sharing your expertise, your stories, and your vision for algorithmic abolition and community justice.